So our passage is Acts chapter 2, first 21 verses. So when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?" And here we go with the names. Parthians and M's and E's. And residents of M, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, that one, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, I can get Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So this is an amazing story. And it starts with this loud sound. And we sometimes forget what it's all about. But they all suddenly come and want to see what's happening because they hear this loud sound. And I was thinking, this must have been like a very proper loud sound, because people around, they all came to see. It's a bit like if sort of a train crashed here in Nashville Station, and this is massive sound, and we all go and see what's happening. And kind of stop what you're doing, and you go and see what's happening. And that's what happened at the time, because it wasn't a gathering of lots of Jewish people in that room. It was just the disciples there praying. And something brought everyone around to see what was happening. And actually, there was more than 3,000 people listening to Peter preach afterwards. So it's everyone around just came to see what had happened. And then when they get there, they've got this group of disciples speaking in different languages. And everyone's like, what's happening here? It's a bit like if you go, say, to Germany, and you're there in a very German town, and suddenly this group of very German people, and they're all speaking different languages, and you hear them speaking perfect English, and perfect Scottish, but that's a different language, and perfect Spanish, and Italian, and any different language, and in a perfect accent. And that's very weird. It's a very weird situation. And they kind of, they all come, and instead of saying, oh, this is a bunch of weirdos speaking weird stuff, they stay and they listen and they hear about the wonders of God. And I always think, why did they stay? Why didn't they just go away? If I see a bunch of people doing really strange stuff and speaking in different languages, and this doesn't seem right, I'd go. I think probably most of us would say these people are crazy. But they stayed. And I think that they stayed because there was something there that was so attractive that made them stay. And it's the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was poured onto them. The Holy Spirit was kind of all around there. And when they came, they had that presence there and they didn't want to leave. And they stayed to listen to what Peter had to say. And there was a few who kind of laughed at them, which you would expect, but they stayed to listen because there was something so powerful drawing them to that place. And God's presence is so powerful that it draws us in. Once we've tasted God's presence, once we've felt that presence, once we've felt that peace and that joy that His presence has, we don't want anything else. Once we immerse in that presence, like, there's nothing else I want. I have got this. This is all I need. And that's what's happening with these people that are coming close. They come close because there's something there that's amazing, and they want to stay, and they want more of that, and they stay and they listen to Peter speak about it. And it's lovely to see how Peter stands up, but actually all the disciples stand up with him. And we usually see this as Peter's sermon, which is true because it was him delivering a talk. But actually, when he stood up, the other 11 disciples all stood up with him, and they were there together. Because God's kingdom is not a one-man show. It's not about one person doing it. It's all of them together. Peter got to speak, but it was a team of people doing God's work together. And one of the things I love about Pentecost is that they're drawn by the Spirit, they're filled with the Spirit of God, and they're being sent out by the Spirit of God. But the great thing about it is that it's not what's changed. It's that before, Jesus would get his disciples and say, okay, you two go over there, you two go over there, two go to Epsom, two to Leatherhead, two to Dorking, then come back and tell us how it's been, what's happened, and then they'd go again, and they'd kind of be sent, go by themselves and come back. And what changes with Pentecost is that now it's the Holy Spirit sending them, but they're not going by themselves. The Holy Spirit goes with them, and therefore they're not going alone, but as they go, Holy Spirit is with them the whole time. So everything we do for God is we do it sent by Him, but with Him, empowered by Him. And that's really amazing, and that's completely liberating. If you look at our mission statement as a church, our mission statement is transforming communities, knowing Christ, and making Him known. So our call, what we believe is our call as a church, is actually to transform Ashted and around, and helping other people know Christ better. And it's an amazing call, but the great thing is that at the end of the day, that's God's call for this place. That's not ours. Our responsibility is to join into what God is doing, but at the end of the day, it's His mission. It's what He wants to do in this place. God wants to transform people in Ashted. We want to join in, and we love doing it. But actually, the one who wants to do that much more than us is God. And He's the one who sends us, and He's the one who goes with us. And it's very liberating to know that actually it's His responsibility much more than ours to do His mission on earth. That's a bit of a tricky statement, isn't it? It's very liberating to realize that it's His responsibility more than ours to do His mission on earth, because it's His mission and He wants to do it. And we just join in and do our part. It's a bit like someone organizing an event. So say on Thursday I organized a prayer event, Matt was doing worship, Paul, someone around there, was leading sound, someone else was doing another bit, someone else printed out stuff. But at the end of the day, I was responsible for that meeting. So if Matt suddenly said, look, I can't do it, then I'd have to find someone else. If Paul said something didn't work well with the sound, then at the end of the day, I was responsible for it. I was in charge of it. And with God's mission and doing God's work, at the end of the day, God is responsible for it, and He's the one who sends us and goes with us. And that's really liberating, knowing that at the end of the day, it's His mission, and we join in, and we do our part. So let's go back to our passage. Acts 2 says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit, and on all peoples, your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. And that time that Joel's talking about started in Pentecost and is still active today. That's the time we're living, in the time where God promises to give us prophecy and vision and dreams. And whenever we mention prophecy, a lot of us get a bit scared, don't we? And a bit like, I've seen a lot of bad examples of this. I've seen many people say, the Lord said this and never happened. Or I've seen people say, the Lord said this, and another person saying, the Lord said that. And it's like, how can he be saying the same thing? And actually, if you look at prophecy in the New Testament, it's basically being led by God. It's basically just sharing a message from God. And we tend to sort of make it a big thing and get a bit scared and oh, is this prophecy? Is it not prophecy? It doesn't really matter what word we give it. What matters is that God wants to speak to us, that God wants to guide us, that God wants to use us to give his message to other people around us. And therefore, God wants to give us gifts that help us understand his will and know what to do. But the truth is that if we don't have God speaking to us, then it's very hard to know some things in life. So how do you know what to do, where to study, or if you should pursue one career or another, or one job or another, or if you feel called to lead worship, or if you feel called to be a welcomer or pray? It's very hard because we don't really know, and therefore we need God to specifically guide us. And it's very hard always to know if it's God or if it's not God. But God does speak to us, and God wants to speak to us, and God wants us to pursue these things like seeing visions and dreaming dreams and receiving words from him and receiving guidance from him. And I know it's very tricky, but that doesn't mean we have to discard it. And I know there's many people doing it wrong and many people saying things that end up being more hurtful than helpful. But that doesn't mean we'll discard the fact that God speaks today, that God can speak today, and God wants to speak to us today. And therefore, let's go into 1 Corinthians 14. And 1 Corinthians 14 says, "Follow the way of love and eagerly desire of the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy." So what Paul is saying is, especially look for prophecy. "For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort." But the word prophecies is one, again, we are quite scared of using, but it's just being guided and God revealing something to us, which is many times a very natural thing. If someone you know is going through a rough patch in their life, and you go up and share a verse with them and say, "Look, Jesus promises to be with you every day of your life," then that's a message from God. And in a way, that's a prophecy. So that's as simple and as natural as prophecy in the New Testament is. It's a word from God that strengthens, that encourages, and that comforts. As simple as that. And I think sometimes we're a bit scared because we think prophecy is someone standing up here and saying, "The Lord says in 2 years this big thing is going to happen." And actually in the New Testament, it's much more natural than that. It's just letting God lead us and saying, "God, I want to encourage someone. Can you put into my mind someone who's struggling?" And then just calling them and saying, "Look, God loves you." And that's it. It's as simple as that. And sometimes can be more specific and more something God might show you, it is more specific. But actually, it is as simple as that. It's sharing the strengthening, the encouraging, and comforting other people. And it's very hard to listen to God's voice, and it's very hard to know if it's God or if it's us. Actually, this week, whenever I'm preparing a sermon, I try and say, "Okay, I'm going to practice this a bit, so that afterwards I can share a story and sort of something applicable to life." So I decided to, in my prayer time, to spend a bit of quiet time. I usually say, "Okay, I'm going to be silenced for 5 minutes." And I tried it for 5 minutes, and my mind was just wandering around everywhere. It's very hard to concentrate. So those 5 minutes took me like 15 till I kind of felt I had, in those 15 minutes, maybe 3 or 4 minutes where I was actually quite quiet and able to relax and let God speak to me. And the truth is, I didn't feel God say anything specific. I didn't feel sort of God saying, "Okay, go and tell Matt something," or something very exciting. I was expecting something more exciting, but it didn't happen. But I did sort of remember a conversation I had with a friend a few days ago, and something he was sharing about the importance of prayer or something like that. I felt, well, maybe that's what God is trying to encourage me today. He's encouraged me through that conversation to think about prayer. And I think it's as natural as that. It's just telling God, "Look, God, I'm not sure if this comes from you or not, but But I want to hear your voice. I want to know more about hearing your voice. And sometimes it feels like we have no idea, but sometimes God is quite specific. So a few months ago, Rosemary Bull leads some prayer groups, which we meet once a term, more or less, to do a thing called listening prayer, which basically means we get together and after a few minutes, we just go in groups of three, and we ask God to give us something for the people around us. So we ask God to say, God, is there anything you want to share with the people around us? And I find it quite hard sometimes because I'm really thinking, God, please give me something. I want to share something. It would be nice to have a word. And sometimes I do feel something and sometimes I don't. And sometimes it feels quite natural and sometimes it doesn't. And this one time, we were a group of three of us. I had no idea what God wanted to say, but I just wrote one word down, which I wasn't sure if it came from God or if it didn't. But actually, once we were sharing, the person next to me had written the exact same word. So one word, and we both wrote the same word. And then the other person, with three of us, wrote something that was kind of in the same area, the same feeling. And that's when I realized, well, actually, God does speak. I think I already know that, but you know when you need to be reminded once again that God does speak to us and God does encourage us. And sometimes what we feel is just a natural thing, it's actually God leading us through that. So sometimes it doesn't have to be supernatural or something very kind of big, but sometimes if you feel, well, why I should pray for this person, then pray for it, because it might be God leading you. And if it's not, then it's fine. You're just praying for someone. It's good. And if you feel, oh, it might be that some person needs encouragement, send them a text, send them an email, give them a call, send them a verse, and encourage them. And if it's God, that's brilliant. That's exactly what they needed. And if it was just you thinking it, it's still lovely because you're still giving them an encouragement. It's still worth doing. So everything we do that will encourage, strengthen, and comfort someone is worth doing. And maybe it might be God leading us to do that. And that's what's, in a way, unleashed in Pentecost. The fact that the God who before used to speak specifically to some people is now speaking to all of us and speaks through all of us. And I don't think we should be afraid of it. We shouldn't be afraid of trying it out and saying, God, the truth is I want to be an encourager. I want to encourage people around me and I want to give them your message. And just say, who can I encourage today? And even if it just feels very natural, something that's just your head, it's still a good thing to do. It's still something that will bless the people around us. So I'd like us to kind of be challenged by this and probably take out some of the weird bit and the stigma and the kind of, oh, prophecy is a really big word and someone who calls himself a prophet, I'm not sure. I just say it's actually just God wanting to share his love with people around us, and he does that through all of us. And that's partly what Pentecost is about. It's God sharing his spirit with us and us sharing it with others. So what I see in Pentecost is that it's a big shift from doing things in our strength to doing things in his strength. Because that's what, if you look at, in essence, what's happening here, is they're doing all this stuff that they couldn't do by themselves. They can't speak in tongues by themselves. They can't pour out the Spirit by themselves. They can't do anything that they're doing by themselves. So I think Pentecost is us understanding that God's mission is something we do with him, and we can't do in our own strength. It's realizing that it's his mission, and he wants to do it, but we're called to do it in his strength. And trusting in him. And he'll do whatever he wants to do. And whatever he does is amazing. Because we do have an amazing God. And I think Pentecost, I heard this analogy a few days ago, is a bit like what happened in the Second World War. So in the Second World War, there was this day when Hitler was defeated. And therefore, there was victory in Europe. But the thing is, a lot of people around them didn't know that yet. So the massive victory had already happened, but someone, say in Poland, in a concentration camp, had no idea that had happened, and they were still prisoners. But the victory had already happened. So it just took a while till the news started spreading out, and the joy of knowing that the victory had come would reach all around Europe. But it took a while. And I think, in a way, Pentecost is that news starting to spread out. It's the great news that Jesus died for us and rose again. But then Pentecost is the news spreading out and out and out, and people listening, and the joy that comes with that. Actually, we have access to God's presence. Actually, the God who created the world wants to live in us. Actually, that God wants to have a relationship with us. Actually, that God wants to fill us with his presence, with his love, with his joy, with his gifts. Wants to give us the possibility of sharing that amazing relationship with other people around us. And that's what's starting to spread in Pentecost. It's kind of these waves of his presence going from Jerusalem around to the whole world. And that's what he calls us to do as a church. He calls us to come, gather, be filled with his presence, and then scatter and take that presence around everywhere. But we need that presence, because it's nothing, as I said at the beginning, as attractive, as great as his presence. There's nothing that draws us as much as God's presence. There's nothing like it. And I think we need to taste it, and we need to feel it, and we need to know it, and we need to search for it. Because it's lovely just to be in God's presence. I don't know if you've ever felt sometimes when you're worshipping or sometimes when you're gathered that you kind of feel God's presence and you think, this is all I need. This is it. I have this. I have everything. I don't need anything else. I just want to live in this place of his presence. I just want to be with him. And that's the presence God wants to give us. And that's what's exciting about being Christians, is the Holy Spirit presence in our life. That's the great thing about being a Christian. If not, it's a kind of boring set of rules. But once we have that presence, it's an amazing gift. And we get to share it with others, and we get to be equipped to kind of do all these amazing things that the disciples did. We get to pray for people, and maybe they might be healed. And we get to send messages to our friends and say, look, I just want to share that you are amazing at doing this, or just want to share that God loves you. And it might be that it was actually God guiding you to do that, and it might change the day or the week or the life of a person. And it's amazing to be with God in kind of that way. So Jesus said to his disciples, which of you fathers, I love this passage, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, and I love this, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Basically, because that's what he wants to do. There's nothing the Father wants more than for us to be filled with the Spirit. And actually, there's nothing he wants more for the people around us to be able to know his presence and hunger for his presence. So there's a world around us of people who are lonely, who are hurting, who don't feel valued, who are broken, who don't feel loved. And we have a God who heals, a God who restores, a God who gives us an identity. When we feel we are orphans and we feel lost, he says, you are my son, you are my daughter, you are loved. We have this amazing God. And he's calling us to be filled by his Spirit, to share that Spirit with others. He's calling us to taste this presence, to know this presence, to be able to share it with others. And I think that God wants to do that through us, and he wants to do that with us. So I'd like to invite us to say, Holy Spirit, we want your presence. Holy Spirit, we want more. To say, we've seen what you did through with the disciples, and we see that they felt your presence and they were transformed. We see that they went out with these gifts, and we want the same thing. It's a bit like what I was talking about 3 or 4 weeks ago, about the stretching the tent, being stretched. And the only way we can be stretched is with the Holy Spirit, is in his strength and not ours. And it's just lovely to be filled by the Spirit. It's lovely to feel his presence. And it's lovely to be able to do that. And it's great that he actually does that in us, and then he gives us gifts to share it with others. And that's amazing. So I'd like us to invite us to just have a few minutes in silence, and in the quietness of your heart, just pray, "Come, Holy Spirit, come into my life." Father, we pray that you will send your Holy Spirit on us. How much more? How much more will you give us the Holy Spirit if we ask? And we are asking that you'll send your Holy Spirit over us individually, personally, but also collectively. Come, Holy Spirit, to this room. Fill us with your presence. Come, Holy Spirit, and touch our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, we want to taste and see who you are. Come, Holy Spirit, and equip us with your gifts. Come, Holy Spirit, and give us the gifts of tongues, and give us the gifts of prophecy, and give us the gifts of healing the sick. Give us the gifts of discernment. Give us a gift of service and of administration. Give us your gifts. Equip us as only you can do. Holy Spirit, it's great to know that you're here and we can sense your presence. I just pray that you will come in a stronger way. Touch our hearts and touch our minds. Show us if there's any gift you want us to ask for more. If you want more, if you want to be prayed for, if you want to be filled by the Holy Spirit and you want someone to pray for you, and if you want to ask God for a gift and you actually want to step out and get someone to ask for you, I'd like to invite you, if you like, to come forward and we'll pray for you, and we're not going to ask any questions. We're just going to pray that the Holy Spirit will fill you and equip you with his gifts, and that's it. So just if you want prayer, do come forward during this worship set at any time, and we'd love to pray for you. Because that's what the first disciple did. They prayed for each other. They sent each other out. They prayed that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit. They prayed that they would receive the gifts. And it worked. And it still works today. So if you like prayer, just come forward. If not, you can pray where you are or worship where you are. Feel free to do whatever you like. But I do encourage you to come for prayer, because there's something about praying for one another. There's something in the Bible about it, and that actually activates the gifts God wants to give us. So do come, and we'd love to pray for you. And I'm going to ask the prayer team if they could come forward.